I have enjoyed the music this morning. I've enjoyed the message and the praise of, you know, when we sing, we're like, well, you know, show us your glory. That was a prayer, you know. And we sing about His goodness. We sing about His praise. It's a good thing. And so I've enjoyed being a part of that. Now, I don't know about y'all, but the year's been passing, and the other day I felt like just a hint of fall, and then I got to thinking about some things about where did spring go and where did summer go. I remember winter was here because my sons and I like to hunt, and your fingers and your legs go numb and painfully in the cold. So I remember winter well, but then I'm looking around, what happened to spring? And I look around all the things that I didn't do in the spring cleaning, and my wife would tell you, probably not in the way I'm going to explain it, and she doesn't know what's coming, so y'all pray for my wife. But I can be a bit of a clutter bug, and a clutter bug might be a nice way of putting it. I'm not filthy, and I'm not messy, and I'm, you know, it's not a dirty thing. It's just there's so many things I'm not done using yet, you know, and like books and golf clubs that I'm not done using those yet. I haven't picked them up in 4 years, and but I'm not done using them yet. But my big thing is books and different things, and I can fill a corner in a hurry. And you know, most rooms have like four corners, and if you're blessed to have your dresser in the right place, you gain two more corners. And I can fill my corners. If you walk in my office, you can see that it's quite cluttered and books open all over the place. And there's some things that you won't see there. Why? Because I've positioned the bookshelves in such a way that have given me more corners to hide things. But corner, am I the only person that can stuff a corner? Is there anybody? I mean, corners are great storage spaces. You know, again, it's not a, you know, not being messy or dirty or anything like that. It's just things that are of value, and you put those things there. You're going to come back to them, or like if there's company coming over, and you gotta, you know, just hide those things, and you put them in the corners, like where the couch is, where the two couches come together. That's a beautiful corner. You know, there's the newspaper I'm not done reading yet. There's the, again, books. I'm not one who reads all the way through a book. I'm reading through, like, I don't know, 16 books, would you say? That's a, and just books are stacked up all over the place. But corners. What about kids? Has mom and dad ever told y'all to, hey, get your room clean, you got like 5 minutes? Those corners come in handy when you're in a rush. But corners. Sometimes, I don't know if you're like me too, where you go and you go digging for something that you know is in one of those corners, and you start coming across things that you forgot you put in the corner. And then that's really exciting. You're like, whoa, there's where that thing is, and I forgot I even owned that. You know, it's so valuable. You know, corners can even be a treasure chest. And again, it's nothing wrong with putting things in the corner. And the things that we put in the corner, they have value. If they didn't, then we would throw them away. We would get them out. But me, whether it be in my workshop, whether it be in you know, Ken, don't come look at my workshop. I call it a workshop, but it's not really a workshop. But my workshop, my garage, my shed, my room, my house, my office, I have utilized the corners, and many valuable things there in those corners. But there are just some things that don't belong in corners, and that's what we're going to be looking at today as we look in Acts 26. You know, our hearts are round and our minds are round, and that's a good thing. But still, sometimes in our own hearts and our minds and the way we think, there are things that kind of like in our corners, because life is busy, we can't address everything, we're not done with things, we're still struggling with things, we stack things up in corners. You know, our lives become like that. We get so busy, we're not done with this yet, and so these things build up in our heart and our emotions and our mind and our thinking, And whether it be emotional things, whether it be dreams, to-do lists, memories, it's just in the corners. They're valuable. We're not ready to throw them away. There's not a place to really put them yet. And so we store these things. We hide them. We put them away. And we hang on to them, even the emotional corners that people can't see. But what about our faith? Our relationship with Jesus Christ, it's valuable. But isn't it true that sometimes our lives can be so cluttered that even the things of our faith, whether it be the principles of Scripture, whether it be the commands of Christ, the things that we know that we're supposed to follow, but we're struggling with so many other things that are in life. Our lives are so cluttered by our schedules, by just the different challenges that we may face, and I know it's different for everybody, but then even our faith begins to be put in the corner. And Paul speaks to the openness of Christianity in the book of Acts here today. And so our main point today is that the message of Jesus Christ should not be hidden. Now today, our passage, if you looked at your listening outline or you looked at the bulletin today, you see it's a whole chapter, it's a chapter and a half, and we're not going to read all that today. Essentially, we're very familiar with what's going on. So this is the fourth time that Paul has been on trial in just a short time. You know, he came to Jerusalem, and the Jews came against him because of rumors, because of selfishness, because of some religious pride that they're struggling with. And so he's been kind of informally tried by Lysias, the Roman commander that saved his life. And they have yet to be able to find anything wrong with him that's worthy of imprisonment or worthy of death. And then Lysias sent him to Felix, and Felix was the governor of the area. Well, he was also tried by the Jewish council, if you remember, before he went to Felix. And so the Jewish council, they were even divided, the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, and where they couldn't find anything wrong with Paul. And then they sent him to Felix, and Felix listened to his case again. And what is Paul doing every time? He's pointing out the truth, and he's sharing his testimony. He's sharing his faith. He's telling me, you know, this is God. It's not like this is a new sect. This is nothing new. This is the God of the Old Testament, doing exactly what he said that he would do in the Old Testament, and he's fulfilling his promises of the coming Messiah, the coming Christ. He has fulfilled it through Jesus Christ. And then he tells what his story. This is what happened to me. On the Damascus Road, I was saved. We even know from the study that he went off for 14 years. The Apostle Paul just didn't get saved one day, and the next day he's Apostle Paul. We know from Galatians that there was a time of roughly 14 years. And then this is his fourth missionary journey. And so for years, Paul has developed into this apostle and to this missionary. And Paul tells him everything. This is how I used to persecute the church, and this is what Jesus Christ has done for me, and now this is my mission to go and just tell everybody what God has done through Jesus Christ, and this is why I'm on trial today. And Felix, like everybody else, he comes to the point of, I cannot find anything wrong with this man worthy of death or worthy of keeping in prison. But to do the Jews a favor, we see that Felix kept him in jail for 2 years. And then there was a change of the governorship there, and then Festus came, and again Festus, for the political reasons, he has kept Paul in prison. But again, he tried him again, and Paul, pretty much the same thing. Paul tells his testimony. Paul tells everything that's going on, and then because of Paul saw the injustice of what's going on, he has appealed to Caesar. So now King Agrippa, he comes into the picture today in this passage, and King Agrippa he comes in with great pomp. I mean, he's a high official, and Festus needs to send Paul on to Caesar, but his problem is they still don't know what to accuse him of. And so he wants King Agrippa to hear Paul's testimony on what's going on so he can help Festus write a letter of the charges against Paul as he goes to Rome and stands trial before Caesar. And so again, the what we've read and why we're not going to read all this today is because we're very familiar with this. But there are three things that are in this passage that we'll look at over the next couple of weeks. Today we're going to look at one of those that just stands out from the other three times that he was, the other three times that he was on trial. And if you'll join me, please, in Acts 26, we're going to look at verse 26. And verse 24 through 26. But join me in prayer before we start reading the Word of God. Father in heaven, as we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord, you know how I struggle. You know how, Lord, we all struggle in different ways with our faith. I pray, Lord, today that as we read your Word, Father, that in our lives, that the message of your Son, Jesus Christ, will not be hidden in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. What we see here in Acts chapter 26, verses we're going to read through 26. It says, while Paul was saying this in his defense, remember all that I just shared with you, all the things that we've read over the last several weeks, Festus said in a loud voice, and Festus is the governor, he says, Paul, you are out of your mind. Have you ever been sharing your faith with somebody and, somebody says, you're out of your mind? This is how Paul was what was going through. Paul, you're out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you mad. But Paul said, I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I utter words of sober truth. And then listen to what he says here to the king. He turns his focus back to King Agrippa. He says, for the king knows about these matters, and I speak to him also with confidence, since I am persuaded that none of these things escape his notice. And then he says, for this has not been done in a corner. What is Paul meaning here? This has not been done in a corner. Well, the word that we're looking at is this, and what it's talking about is the spread of the gospel, the growth of the church. We've got to remember this is only about 30 years since Jesus Christ was crucified, was buried, was resurrected, and ascended into heaven and promised to come again. And so he's talking about the crucifixion of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ who has come. He said, this hasn't been done in the corner. We haven't done a conspiracy. It's not like we've been hiding and growing this church. It's not like we've been coming against the Jews. We have caused no problems. And that's why Paul has had the favor that he has had over these last couple of years of being in prison, is because the leaders knew that the Christians weren't the ones causing the issues. They knew it was the Jews. They've dealt with the Jews. The Jews were a force that they had to reckon with, that they had to keep under control. And so we see they're familiar with this, and Paul appeals to that. King Agrippa, you know about us. You know what's been happening. You know about the stories. It's just 30 years ago. In this point, we got to think there are people that were still alive that King Agrippa and Festus could have called before them and said, that we hear that you are a witness of the things of Jesus Christ, of his resurrection, of his ascending into heaven, and of the words that he spoke. There were people that were still alive that saw it with their eyes, not read it in a scroll or read it in the scriptures or heard about it. There were people still alive that had actually seen it. And Paul is saying this hasn't been done in a corner. It hasn't been hidden. It wasn't a conspiracy. I mean, they could have literally loaded up, whether it be on horseback, walking, or getting in a chariot, or whatever, however they would have done transportation at this time. They could have gone to the empty tomb and looked at the tomb, and there would have been eyewitnesses, even Roman soldiers that could have said, yes, this is the place where Jesus was buried. We found him to be emptied, and this is the story behind it. Oh, it could have still been investigated. And Paul is saying this hasn't been done in a corner. The message of Jesus Christ has not been hidden, is what he's telling the king today. Oh, the life the message of eternal life, the message of Jesus Christ, it hasn't been put in a corner. It hasn't been hidden. And that's what we see today. Today it seems that the message of Jesus Christ has somewhat been put in a corner. And very possible that it may even be a building that has four corners. Well, we got more from four corners here. To where the faith that we live out, the faith that we proclaim, the Christian life that we say that we live and that we believe in and that we're willing to give everything up for, it seems sometimes to be hidden in the midst of a building that is surrounded by many corners. The message of Jesus Christ should not be hidden. If you join me in Matthew 5. Matthew 5, we're going to look at verses 14 through 16. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Jesus is in the Sermon on the Mount here. The verse before this is, you are the salt of the earth. And what does that mean? Well, have you ever had grits without salt? Salt makes a difference. And if you're a person that enjoys grits, you eat it without salt, it's just not quite as good as putting salt in it. So he's saying, we, Christians, people, are people that go and make a difference. You know if we're there or you know if we're not. But in verse 14, we're going to read through 16. It says, you are the light on the world. And these are the words of Christ. A city set on the hill. I'm going to start. Did you hear that? Jesus is telling his disciples and the people he's teaching there, the people who are of faith. He's saying, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand and gives it light, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Then he tells them, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Oh, we see here when we come to Christ that we are like lights when we come to Christ. And if you know anything about a light, a light pierces the darkness. A light pierces the darkness for miles. I'm in the middle of a project that I don't think will ever get done, and that's putting a boat back together. And I've been looking at lights, the navigation lights on the side. And it's measured in how far you can see those lights by miles. Little tiny lights that can be seen for miles. The light that is in us is Jesus Christ. And the message here that we see, again, it supports that this light, the Jesus that's inside of us, our faith, it shouldn't be hidden. It says it's not something that you cover. It's not it said you put it up even higher for people to see. If you've ever been in the mountain area and you're driving through the darkness of the night, if there's a house with a light that's up on top of a hill somewhere, you can see that light. And that's how we are supposed to be in this dark world. We're supposed to be lights. But we hide our lights when we are quiet, when we should speak. You ever been in that situation before where you just know that something should be said, but for whatever reason, we decided not to say it, that we have hidden our light? When we go along with the crowd, we have hidden our light. When we let sin dim our light in our own lives, when we deny Jesus Christ, when we fail to share the message of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, and all that the Holy Spirit is asking us to do is not to give some theological discourse about the Messiah, but is just simply to share our testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And then when we fail to help others that Jesus puts in our path, and specifically convicts our hearts to do something, when we fail to do that, then we have hidden our light. Again, the message of Jesus Christ is not to be hidden. If you'll join me in Luke 11, verses 33 through 36. It goes a little bit further. Where Jesus again is speaking, these are the words of Christ. He says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it away in a cellar nor under a basket." But again, it says, "But on the lampstand, so that those who may enter may see the light." Then Jesus explains, "The eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Then watch out that the light in you is not darkness. If therefore your whole body is full of light with no dark part in it, it will be wholly illumined, as when the lamp illumines you with its rays." So here again, it's a parable, it's referring to the Christ being in us, the goodness of our faith. It's something that is not to be hidden. But if there's any darkness, it is not the light's fault. It is because of what we have done to either illuminate the, or to not to eliminate the light, or to cloud out the light by our sin. The lamp here is Jesus Christ. The eye is spiritual understanding. And after lighting the lamp, and what that refers to is after we come to Christ, it should be something that is put high and above for everybody to see. What does that mean? Is that if we are followers of Christ, then we are new creations, and there should be something different in us than what is seen every day in the world. What do you mean different? What about joy? What about love, peace? Not happiness. That's not in the list. But self-control, brotherly kindness, and can go on to many different things. But the things of Christ should be evident in our life, and through our testimony, through the way we live, through the way we speak to people as the Holy Spirit leads. Again, the message of Christ, it should not be hidden. Join me, if you will, in Philippians 2. Philippians 2, we're going to look at verses 15, and we're going to look at the first part of 16 also. It's Philippians 2, verses 15 through 16. And Paul is writing to the Philippian church, and it says, and Paul is kind of there. I'm going to back up just to 14. It says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing," just to give us context there, "so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God." Listen to this. It's about you are something. If we're followers of Christ, there we are something new. We are something different, not because of us, but because what the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. But it says, "Prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God," and then it says, "above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation." And it says, "among whom you," and listen to this, in this wicked and perverse generation, he says, "among whom you," he's talking to the church here, he's talking to Christians for all time, "among whom you appear as lights in the world." We probably don't see ourselves as lights. But the Word of God we've seen in three different places, it refers to us as being lights. And then it gives us a little bit more explanation of that we have time to look at today. But it says, "holding fast the word of life." So what is a light? And he gives us a description. How do we be the light? Is we hold fast to the Scriptures. We hold fast to the word of life. What is that? It's this. We hold fast to that. If I may, it's not going to be on the board. It was part of my morning devotion, and I've been kind of wrestling with to share it or not. But you know, there must be some sort of regular devotion in our life to know what the word of life is, so we can hold fast to it. But in my morning devotion today, it's not anything that I planned, but I came across this, and again, you won't see it on the board, and that's okay. But going back to Matthew 6. 19 through 24. Jesus is still speaking here. And listen to what he says here. And it says, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where the thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Then listen what he says here. What he's saying, that, hey, there's things of this world that keep us from focusing on the things of eternal life. We're all aware this isn't it. This is just the first part of the journey. And then we enter through the gates of abundant life, and then real life, eternal life, begins if we are a follower of Jesus Christ. But where was I? I got excited in the middle of that. But we were reading in verses 19, we're on 22. And this is what Jesus says here. And again, very similar to what we just read in Luke. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, that would be sin-free, it's a parable, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, that means that we were choked by the things of this world, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, oh, and listen, he says, how great is that darkness? Verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. And so what is he saying here? The context here is not of money is what I'm wanting to pull out of here. What I'm trying to see is that sometimes we hide the things of Christ, the things of our faith, because of the complexities that we come throughout the world. I mean, we're dealing with our own baggage, the battle between our own two ears, the battle in our own heart. We're dealing with sometimes marriage relationships. We're dealing with families. We're dealing with extended family. We're dealing with work. We're dealing with school. We're dealing with teachers. We're dealing with expectations. We're dealing with our church family. We're dealing with different things that we looked at last week. So many things that we're dealing with. And then we try to fulfill that joy. We look for other things outside of the sovereignty of Christ to fulfill us. Oh, we begin to look for Prozac Jesus and Toys R Us Jesus and Lord, if you would just do all these. No, but he's our sovereign God. And so we look at all these things in our life, and what happens is Jesus gets put in our corner. Our faith gets put in a corner, and it's buried by stuff. It's buried by life. It's buried by expectations, by hobbies, by our life. But what we see in these passages today is the message of Jesus Christ should not be hidden. It will not be hidden. Something that I shared with our men last week or yesterday is I want to share with y'all. You know, we've been talking about change, praying about change, and not change for change's sake because we've got nothing else to do. But the change of carrying out the gospel. We've been talking about this message of Jesus Christ that shouldn't be hidden, but it has been hidden. It's being hidden across America, all over the place, and it's being hidden inside of the thing that's called the church house. Oh, we can be such great Christians here, and we share the gospel, whether it be in small group or in Sunday school, or whether it be in our Bible studies, or whether it be in this room here. We'll share the gospel, share the gospel, share the gospel. But where were we supposed to be sharing the gospel? We're supposed to be going out. And we will not change our church. We will not change Perdido Bay, the community of the people that are here. We will not change our world on the church grounds. It won't happen. What am I saying, that we shouldn't come to church? No, but what I'm saying is this building is a bunch of corners, and if we only tuck away our faith when we gather in this place and we don't take it with us, then we have hidden the message of Jesus Christ. That we are a people, the purpose of this gathering, it has value, but is to get filled up, to come across the Word of God and to have fellowship with other believers, to be able to share our heart with people. The parking lot, the Miracle Inn, the parking lot where we come in and we and our language changes to Old King James and we're all brothers and sisters and life is good and we're so blessed. Oh, that is falsehoods. But when the authenticity comes in and we meet in this place and we look at the Word of God, we sing about the Word of God, and we go out and we begin to implement these things as we live our life, that is true worship, where the message of Jesus Christ is put on a lampstand for all to see. If we only honor Christ when we gather in this place, we will never change the world. Again, purpose for Sunday morning is fellowship. It's for equipping. It's for teaching. It's a time of training. It's a time of growing. It's a time of encouragement. And then we go and the Holy Spirit works through us in different ways, in ways that make change. It is hard to do. It is hard to do. I wrestle with a time, and I think I've shared it with you before, but Stephanie and I, a couple years ago, I surprised her with a romantic night. She's been wanting to be on a carriage, and we were in St. Augustine, and you know, and it was expensive. It was. But she is worth it. And men, some of the things that you shouldn't say. But it was, but not to say, so here we are, and this guy the whole time, didn't he, Stephanie? He talked. He talked the whole time. And I just wanted to, my heart was saying, guy, just turn around and shut up. I'm on a romantic time with my wife. We don't get a lot of time together. But what he was saying all the time, and what my heart was saying, was share the gospel. It was clear that this guy was crying out for the gospel. And the whole time, I was just like, turn around. I'm with my wife. I missed the opportunity to share the gospel with him. My light was hidden under what I desire to do. And while I imagine I haven't had this discussion with Stephanie, I imagine it was a very good night, very romantic night of being the clippity-cloppity of going around the town square. That was nice, but how much greater would the night have been if her husband would have been the man of God that he's been called to be and shared the gospel and changed a man's life right there? Not the work that I wanted to do, but the work that the Holy Spirit wanted to do. Oh, we can't hide Jesus Christ. We can't hide the message of Jesus Christ. And when we do, we must repent because we are in sin. We've hidden the light that is within us. And listen to me clear, friends. There is no substitute. There is no substitute for sharing the message of Jesus Christ. There is no substitute. It's not about a coffee shop. It's not about a movie night. It is not about a craft event that we're going to have on October 1st. It's not about a fish fry. It's not about a man's retreat. Those things have value, and we should do those things. But our light must shine into the darkness as we do those things. And when we are not doing those things, the message of Jesus Christ is not an event. It is you. It is me. The light does not stay here. When you leave, guess what? And we turn off the lights, it is dark in here. But the light of the gospel leaves when you leave this place. And it goes with you. The message of Jesus Christ should not be hidden. Oh, the light, it must go. The light must make disciples and leading people through the authority of Jesus Christ and His promises to be with us. It is difficult, but once you take that step, it requires courage. It requires courage because there is fear involved in that. It requires courage to move through your whole thing. You're going to mess it up. And let me tell you, you're going to mess it up. But there's a time when you step out in faithfulness where it's no longer about you. You could say yabba dabba doo, but the Holy Spirit is working. I don't recommend you try to say yabba dabba doo and test it. But you know what I'm saying. You stumble through it and you share your heart and the Holy Spirit's already doing the work. Oh, the message of Christ Paul said, this hasn't been done in a corner. But I'm concerned that in our generation, it seems that the things of Christ, they are held within the four corners of the local church. The message of Jesus should not be hidden. So what about you? Have you been hiding the message of Jesus Christ? Have you been hiding the things that Jesus has done for you? Sometimes the trials you go through, the things that you could share in the small group, you know, it is important for us to gather, but then there should be some intimate relationships that are built within the family, also the church family, with men and women that you can trust and that you can share about some of the things, because oftentimes the testimony you have, whether it be about the time you came to Christ, whether it be something you're going through, whether it's something that God has put on your heart, it is sometimes the Holy Spirit is working through you for the encouragement of other people. Again, the message of Jesus should not be hidden. Is it because you don't have a light? Maybe you're here today and you're like, what are you talking about, this light? I'm telling you, that light is Jesus Christ. It's salvation. It is a time that Jesus has said, has called us out of the life that we're living and has given us the realization that we are sinners and that we are separate from Him and that He calls us to salvation. Maybe that's you today. If you are being drawn by God, in just a moment, you'll have a chance to come right over there. Well, the message of Jesus Christ has not been hidden. My friends, do you have the light? I imagine that most of us have the light. And again, talking about the light is Jesus Christ and the salvation, and that we have come at some time in our life to the faith in Christ. And so we have the light, we have Christ. But as we have just read in Luke and back in the passage in Matthew 6, have our eyes become cloudy? Not literally. I'm not saying you need to go to the obstetrician. But has your spiritual outlook become cloudy because the weariness and the heaviness of life has come into us? And maybe it's not the weariness. Maybe it's the pursuit of something. Oh, if I can just get this or achieve this or get to this point or save up and buy this or not save up and buy this. And maybe those things that if I can just achieve this, then I'll be happy. And maybe all that clutter has pushed the message of Jesus Christ in our lives back in a corner. Oh, then I encourage you today to tell Jesus all about it and to repent and then let your light shine. Again, the message of Jesus should not be hidden. Maybe like you, I envision one day a church of people that we come and we gather here. Our goal is to be the best family that we can be. That's the goal of our church. If you haven't realized yet, that is that family is important. And what is the one thing that we want to do better than 10,000 other churches? Not that we're in competition, but we want to be the best family that we can be. And so, but we come here, and then in those more intimate relationships that we develop within the family, that there is a place of, there's the gathering, but then there is the time of being able to authentically live lives and to share our struggles, to pray for one another. And then from that fellowship and not Sprite and pizza, but that true one-on-one, life-on-life, there is encouragement, there's accountability, and then we all grow from that. And then as we grow, we all have different areas. We leave and we go in so many different directions. And the vision that I have is that from the encouragement that we get from God's Word as we gather here, as the encouragement that you get from God's Word in your small groups, that changes your life and you go out and you begin to share those things that the Holy Spirit puts on your heart as you go out, whether it be Lillian, whether it be the Key, whether it be Gulf Beach, whether it be at a Rarity Point, whether it be in the neighborhood right behind us, that we go and we take that light with us. And then we begin to have small groups in our home. We're not going to change the world on this property. It won't happen. This has a purpose. a gathering and equipping so we can go. And then we invite people over. I envision having to have a volunteer of some sort, a lay leader that is keeping up with all the different activities. Or forget a lay leader that has to. We don't have to keep with it. There is no responsibility that anybody has as a follower of Christ to check in with the Pope of the Baptist Church to make something happen. If you're new, if you're a guest here, there is no Pope of the Baptist Church. That was a joke. But you're the light. Not the pastor, not the church. It's Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that's in you. And that you become a light wherever you live, wherever you go. And then in homes, we see small groups developing. People that they can count and call on, they can count on, they can share life with. And life is hard. And then those groups grow to a point where other groups, they begin to multiply. And then other groups go, and we invite people to come over, people that don't know Christ, and they come and they ask questions, we share our testimonies, and through the movement of the Holy Spirit, that lives are changed. People are going to come to Christ through small groups more than they'll come to Christ in the big group on the church property. I guarantee it. Read it, study it yourself. But I envision a day that the church, as they go, is faithful with the gospel. I envision when there are people and small groups that are multiplying and growing throughout the community, throughout the city, throughout the world. I envision mentoring relationships where young is teaching old. Where sometimes maybe young, did I say young is teaching old? Yeah. But very possibly young is teaching old. But we have generational divide. Oh, and some of our older, more wiser folks, just with life. How do I serve God in my finances? How do I serve God in my marriage? How do I serve God in my home? How do I serve God in my workplace? How do I serve God in my parenting? How do I read the Bible? How do I pray? We can keep on going, and there's mentoring relationships, life on life, as our light is being spread through the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do through us. The message of Jesus should not be hidden.